epilogue. It was, to say the least, a very bizarre wedding reception. It was held in the banquet room of the Stanley Hotel, and the guests were practically all walking wounded. There were bikers in full regalia, wearing slings and head bandages and casts, soldiers in military uniforms with bloody bullet holes still in them, cops in strike force battle fatigues, hobbling on crutches. Street gang members in their psychedelic Watusi colors carried it on litters because there weren't enough wheelchairs to go around in the entire state of Colorado. Battle-scarred survivalists in varied form of dress, from camo fatigues to rodeo flash, replete with turquoise jewelry, silver collar tips, and toe caps. Junkies nodding out and feeling absolutely no pain whatsoever because they'd finally found Nirvana in the town of Estes Park, where the drugs could be purchased over the counter as cheaply as beer and cigarettes. The bride wore a white rodeo queen outfit, fringed western miniskirt, white high-heeled boots, and silk and sequined western blouse studded with rhinestones with a long white silk bandana. The groom wore a similar western outfit he had borrowed from the bride's brother, which consisted of hand-tooled western boots made out of bull hide, sky-blue cavalry twill slacks with matching western yoked jacket, silk shirt, and brocade vest, and a white Stetson. The minister who performed the ceremony was Snake, who, to everyone's amazement, turned out to be a Jesuit, or so he claimed anyway, and no one felt disposed to argue with him. And he did conduct the ceremony properly, so perhaps he really was a priest, for all they knew, as Hardesty grumbled in an aside to Higgins, "Never can tell what these Jevies are liable to do!" Linda Tellerman was maid of honor, and Higgins served as the best man, and Sheila Blaine, who was finally going to New York, taped the entire ceremony as a cap or color segment for the network news. And following the brief formal reception, the bride and groom were given a motorcycle escort to their honeymoon lodge by a stream in Rocky Mountain National Park, after which the entire wedding party and most of the population of the town of Estes Park repaired to the airport hangars for a biker-styled funeral that turned into a four-day beer blast. Those who had died, and there were many, were given a rousing send-off with a joyful noise that echoed throughout the entire valley. At some point, the president tried to call and congratulate the heroes, but something was lost in translation when a drunken biker answered the call from the chief executive, listened for about 30 seconds, slurred, "Suck my dick!" and then hung up. "What I don't understand," Steele said to Higgins as they watched Peacemaker shooting beer cans from off a petrified prospect's head with his newly acquired Colt single-action army, "is why the launch command sequence broke down. Some of the missile scientists told me that Cord had ordered the strike, but the computers went haywire for some reason. What happened?"
"I don't know," said Higgins. "Some kind of equipment malfunction, I guess, or maybe an error in computer programming. One of these scientists might have deliberately programmed some kind of glitch into the system. We'll probably really never know."
Said Steele thoughtfully.
"Who's Matrix?"
Higgins glanced at him, his eyes and his expression giving nothing away.
"Matrix?"
"Yeah. Jake said something about you communicating with somebody called Matrix over the Launch Control Center's console."
"Oh, that," said Higgins. "Jake must have got confused. I was merely trying to interrogate the system, see if I could figure out what the hell the status was. I was scared to death that we might have a launch, but the damn thing was completely on the fritz. Gave me some kind of joke answers. That's what makes me think one of the scientists sabotaged the program. It was probably Frank's, and he paid for it with his life. Poor bastard."
"But think of all the lives he saved," said Steele.
"Yeah, the man died a hero." Higgins silently breathed a deep sigh of relief. He wasn't yet ready to explain to Steele about the Matrix clone. He wasn't sure if he ever would be. It wasn't Frank's who saved the day, but Steele. A duplicate electronic Steele that had traveled 2,000 miles through the phone lines on its own initiative and was now loose somewhere in the country's electronic net. It was everywhere and nowhere. How the hell was he going to explain that?
"Well, after this, Carmen will probably have no choice but to reinstate your budget," Steele said.
"Good thing, too," Higgins replied. "You look ridiculous walking around with that bullet hole in your forehead."
"I don't know. Peacemaker said he likes it. I believe he said that it was bitchin'."
"Yeah, well, he's got a hole in his head, too, where his brain ought to be." They watched the huge biker cock the gun, then let off a shot that smashed the beer can on the miserable prospect's head, showering him with foam. Raven came up to them and shook her head.
"Look at that,"
she said.
Hard to believe those psychos saved the future of this country.
Oh, I don't know, Steele smiled. That sort of looks like fun. Hey, Peacemaker, he called out. Mind if I have a shot? Fucking A, be my guest. Prospect, another can.
With a look of silent suffering, the young prospective member of the brood, who didn't yet know that he was about to be presented with his colors in an initiation ceremony that the club had planned, placed another beer can on his head and closed his eyes. With a soft whine, the laser turret extruded through its gun port in Steele's left hand, and his eyes glowed with thin red dots. A bright beam of collimated light lanced out toward the prospect and burned a neat little hole in the exact center of the beer can. The amber fluid trickled down onto the prospect's face.
"Well, right!"
yelled Peacemaker. He brought up the Colt and snapped off a shot, blowing the leaking beer can off the prospect's head. "Terrific," Higgins said wryly. "We blow several $1 million on that laser battle mod, and you use it as a high-tech can opener."
"Spin-off technology," said Steele with a grin.
Raven rolled her eyes.
"Christ, I'm going to get another beer."
End of chapter. End of Jagged Steele.